Hi, everyone. Welcome to Corporate Quitter. I'm super geeked about today's guest, and the timing is so perfect because if you guys have been listening to the news, TikTok is on the verge of being banned. And with people wanting to create a new lifestyle of being an influencer, a creator, or a form of a celebrity, I think Whitney, our guest on today, is perfect to talk about this and how a platform doesn't dictate whether you can be like famous or not, which is super cool. But her name is Whitney Ulin. She's a celebrity life coach and course creator. In her signature mentorship program, The Self-Made Celebrity, she teaches clients around the world how to tap into their celebrity energy so that they can create the life and careers that they know they are meant for. And I think a lot of people in my audience are like, yes, that's me, even though they don't want to admit it. They're like, yes, that's me. I want that. So how did you get into like being a mentor in this way? Like, how did you help cultivate people into finding their celebrity energy? I know you obviously your background is in, you have acting, I think, directing background. So like, how did that all come to this?
Yeah. So thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. But yeah, I think like my background, it's so funny because it's one of those things where it's like I didn't see how all of the pieces came together in my life until like a hindsight a little bit. But I think even just further back a step. So I was raised in the religion of Mormonism, which was very abusive to me. And it really, you know, depending on the definition that you look at, there's a lot of mind control in that and a lot of abuse. And it was really like, I don't think I realized it because I was born into it. But so that was kind of happening in the background. And I grew up knowing that I just like I felt inside of me like I was meant to be famous. And at the time, you know, I was a kid. We didn't have influencing or things like that. Mm-hmm. And so what I saw was I was like, oh, like acting, that's what like I'm going to do, I guess. And so I pursued that. And I went to Brigham Young University. I studied musical theater. And I'm, you know, a trained musical theater actress, singing, dancing and acting. And then I moved to New York City. And I had all of the talent that my friends did, but I just like wasn't getting the roles and I wasn't booking things. And I ended up kind of pivoting into more work on camera. And I really learned how to make a really magnetic tape, right? Like so that like an audition tape, right? So it was like a very, and like even all of my acting, my mentors, things like that, everyone was like, you're such a talented actress. Like you're so pretty. Like you have all of the pieces there. But I couldn't book anything. Like nothing was really like working for me. And then my dad passed away and it just really took a toll on my mental health. And I got to a really dark place. And that's when I discovered life coaching. So when I discovered it, it purely was a way of, you know, self-healing. But what it ended up giving to me was not only this like confidence and being able to learn how to actually translate my like gift into being able to actually book work, but it also because I'd been raised in so much abuse and so much like mind control, it helped me to like I figured out basically how to rewire my own brain and overcome and to heal. And what I realized through this whole process was that your healing and the work that you do on yourself is directly correlated to how magnetic you are and how much you have like the it factor. And so all of these things kind of coalesced together. And it was as I did this work, that's when I started, you know, booking the jobs and landing with the agents and winning awards and being able to travel the world with my work and build my own audience and things like that. And so really, that's kind of like, I guess, a little bit of my villain origin story. But it's like it's really pulling together what I learned as an actress from like how to be magnetic, how to like have that when you're on camera. But then also pairing that with the psychology, with, you know, the evolutionary psychology, things like that to rewire your brain. So kind of a long winded answer, but there's like all of the pieces that kind of came together. So,
yeah. Now, like I can't imagine, but I kind of can, the difficulty where you were in this Mormon sort of background, this family who expected this sort of lifestyle of you or even your self-expression, right? Which is, I would think, a bit more muted or expected to be a bit more muted. And here you are, this person who's just like lit up by energy and you got this personality and all this wanting to share your light with the world. How difficult was it for you to go from that to then being like, no, I'm going to actually pursue acting? Like, was it actually easy or was there like riffraff in the family? Like how, because I know there's some people too, even myself, who are like, you're not doing the traditional thing. Like this is bad. And like, it kind of, it dissuaded me from even pursuing it in the first place for a while.
Totally. No, I see that so much with my clients too. It's like and you know, obviously my mom is my only living parent. And even like my dad was they both were supportive of me, but they also were just so afraid themselves. Like as their daughter, they were like, I want you to be happy, but this scares me and seems like the unknown. And I don't really know, you know, he really like saw my talent, saw my drive, saw my passion. And he was like very encouraging of me. But I think it's still, I had this like back in the, and this is what I think a lot of us here is like back in the, your mind being like, oh, but celebrities are self-centered. Celebrities are full of themselves, you know, like, oh, it's like, not only is it like an unstable career path, but it's like only like toxic people do it was kind of the messaging that I got growing up. And so, yeah, it was a bit of a departure, even though like my, you know, my mom now, like, she's like, no, I love what you do. I think it's amazing. But I do think it's easier to support when you're kind of on the other side and like can show the success than when someone's first starting. Sure. But I also think, you know, I see this a lot is like when you I truly believe we all have this magnetism inside of us. And especially if you're someone who has the desire to fame for fame, like I always believe, like I always tell my clients, it's like your desires are your dharma. If you know that you're meant to be famous, then like there is an audience for you. But what gets in the way is, you know, our like our brains, right? We self-sabotage and all of this. But I think what ended up happening for me was that was just innately inside of me. And then kind of the and it would shine even though people would try to dim it, or I was trying to dim it, or, you know, I was afraid or whatever. But then I kind of, it was almost like the Mormon church, like kind of plucked me out and was like, ooh, we're going to use that gift she has and we're going to use it for our advantage. And so I really became like the poster child of Mormonism, like while I was at BYU. Yeah. And they like,
that's so kinda, like, you're like, this is not what I intended, dude.
Not at all. And so it was kind of, they were kind of like, oh, if you have this gift, then we're going to use it for our advantage. So I was kind of like paraded around at BYU. My ex-husband and I were kind of as this, like, we are the poster children. We were a part of this reforming group and flown to Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, met with the like ambassadors there. I've met the Prince of Denmark. Like, they really like saw my light and were like, we're going to use it for our purposes. And it was really abusive and not, and didn't have full consent. And of course, I was a kid, you know, I was 18, whatever. But now I've kind of been on this mission of like, no, I'm using my voice for what's important to me and to reclaim that narrative and to use my light and my gift the way that I want to. And that's really like why I think I'm so passionate about what I do, but also because the artists, creators, and influencers that I work with, they all have these really important missions. They all have something on their heart, right? Whether it's, you know, like you inspiring people to like find a different way of living or to just see the world in a different way. And so it's really like important that we learn how to use our voice for these like really important missions to make a difference and to like inspire people around the world.
I think you brought up a good point, though, because even for myself, I found that I knew that there was this innate like lightness or like brightness within me that encouraged people to do things or inspired people, or like I just knew that there was some sort of magnetism that I had. But the paradox of that is like the darkness is attracted to the light. So it's like, okay, I need to now shield myself. And when you shield yourself, then you can't like project yourself out into the world. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword of like, okay, I need to like secure myself, but I also need to shine bright so like people can see me. So like, I mean, even now when you think about celebrities, like we had talked about this when we had first connected, how the actual model, or I would just say like the fame game, is completely changing. So whereby back then maybe it was more toxic and you had people who were maybe not using their fame for the best purposes, let's say. Now there's this more, I guess, they're making space for people who have the best intentions, clear intentions, good intentions for the greater good of, let's say, the planet, in like air quotations, or their specific audience or whatever it is. And like, then that's great because you can share your light in that way. But it's still scary because once you're in that kind of world, you get also like, again, you're now back into witnessing the darkness, and it can be a pretty scary place to be. But before we go down that rabbit hole, more of that down, you know, through the conversation, one of the things that I knew from a young age is like, I had the personality and the it factor. And I know it seems like you did too. Is that something you have to be born with, right? Like Maybelline, she's born with it. Or is it like something that you can actually be taught? And or is it, like you had said before, a bit of a rewiring of the brain and whatever it is that you had to go through healing to then uncover the it factor if you feel like you don't have access to it? Like, what is the secret sauce for the it factor?
I love that question. So yeah, like I think even like a lot of people would probably look at me and be like, oh, she's probably outgoing. I'm actually not really. That's not my natural state. What's really magnetic about people is authenticity. So in order to create fame, or which I say like that's fame is just a resource. It's just having people's attention. You really just have to trigger them, meaning you have to like show a divisiveness in their current way of thinking. So what this means is that a lot of, and how a lot of this works, and kind of going into that like darker side, it's like, you know, people will use fear or manipulation tactics or things like that, and that will garner attention. But then there's also like, I, you know, and I kind of say those are like the vampires, right? And then there's the people that are light. That really, though, it doesn't, you don't actually have to be outgoing and bubbly as much as you have to just be authentic people. So this is something I learned as an actor, is that as an actor, you never want to do a scene with a dog or a baby. The reason is not because they're like annoying, but because people cannot help but look at them. And so they do what's called like full focus. And so it's like, and I even see this now with my baby and my dog. We can't go anywhere without people just being drawn to them. Like people will be like, they'll get on the elevator on their phone in a completely different world. And then they see, they like notice my kid's energy and they're just like drawn to look at him. And like, he's a cute kid, but it really is a lot more about
He really is
them.
A cute kid.
Yeah. But like, it really is a lot more about like that magnetism. And so that really, like the it factor is really more about being in a hyper present state where we're not encumbered by fear. So if you are someone who is shy or you're introverted, it's not about like putting anything on, but it's about trusting that it is safe for you to be seen in that natural state, in that flow state. But of course, our brains are going to want to avoid that because being perceived in that way is vulnerable and opens us up to fears. So I think that, yeah, that I think that's a big misconception. And the work really is about creating safety in your brain, in your nervous system, in your body, to just be perceived how you actually are. And that's what really makes people magnetic.
Yeah. And the other thing with authenticity that I have found in my trip, because I've been doing this for like 3-4 years now, is because I've gone down the path of like, okay, let's go for the algorithm, right? What's going to hit the most? Okay, let's do the fear thing. And then I realized, wait, that's not great. And I feel like shit. So we're not going to do that. Switch over to light. How do we do this? And then all of a sudden, you might be authentic in expressing yourself, but that doesn't mean it necessarily is going viral per se, even though there are people leaning in. So, I mean, can you talk on a little bit about that? And maybe, okay, actually, I brought up before the aspect of the TikTok app possibly being banned in the US, which for me, that's where I started. I know a lot of other people, that's where they start. It's a great way to go viral. It's also a great way to just like practice harnessing and expressing like your authenticity without feeling like your friends, your family, your boyfriend, colleagues, like, no, because it is like a unique new platform where you, it's not really that easy to find your context or your friends who can kind of like just talk to the world versus just talking to a select audience on, let's say, your Instagram page. But can you talk a little bit about that, of like the chasing the algorithms, and like, does the that actually like translate to your fame or like quality of fame or ability to pursue, like what about that and social media?
Yeah, so that's such a good question. And I think like, and also if I go on a rabbit hole, pull me back in. Okay. I want to try to answer all of them. We love rabbit holes here though. Yeah. So I think the first thing I just want to say is like, fame is a resource. It's something that you create. And once you know how to do it, you can do it. You can leverage that anywhere. So it, even though like even right now, and I've told my clients this literally for years, I've been like, oh my God, I hate Instagram. It's so annoying. It like, it's so boring. And yet the skill, like there is a little bit of nuance, right? There's a little bit of like, when I type my captions, they actually need to be optimized in a slightly different way. But the content is actually the same on both of them. The difference is, and this is something I see in both camps. So typically what I see is that there's four, so there's four main relationships that you have to work through in your interpersonal life in order to create the resource of fame. The reason behind this is because if you want to go viral, it does feel kind of like nebulous. Like it's a little bit like, what is that? Like our brains can't really comprehend what a million followers actually looks like, right? It's kind of like a confusing, vague thing. And so there's four relationships, but even though it's vague and confusing, there are real world ramifications and they impact your personal life. So they impact either your right? All of these things could be possible. Your family, your friends and colleagues, your romantic partnerships, and the amount of money that you make. So the work a lot of the time comes back to addressing those fears. So something I see a lot, and you can tell me if this resonates with you, but this was definitely my experience. The reason I liked TikTok was because I didn't have a really strong, solid community in my actual personal life. Remember, I was raised Mormon, so a lot of the people following me were from childhood. They were Mormon. And I honestly was afraid of showing up in that space in an authentic way. Right?
Terrified. Yeah. Like literally, I would try to bring, like, you know how you can, like, save down the video without a watermark and put it on Instagram?
Uh-huh.
Like, I would try to do that and then, like, be terrified and, like, delete it. Or, like, a boyfriend at the time would be like, this is ridiculous or this is stupid. And, of course, I'd be like, he's right. And, like, take it down.
Yeah.
And then go back to, like, my little TikTok fam.
Yeah.
A lot of them became real world, like, best friends. Like, people I, like, call up on the phone weekly, like, to talk about, like, Anyway, keep talking about your experience.
This is exactly it. And it's like, and that's the thing. It's like, so for me, it sounds like for you, it felt safer on TikTok because it was just strangers. Right. And yet there are
a lot of people. Which is funny how that happens. Like, you're like, right. Well, all the people in my close world are supposed to be safer options to me, right? Stranger danger, but it ended up being the opposite.
Right. And that's something, though, that there, so we'll see a lot when I'm coaching people, there are a lot of people who feel the opposite. So they have had, and like all of this comes down to like the subconscious fears and your past experiences. So at the time, it sounds like maybe, you know, your partners or your friends or whatever, if they are, or like for me, it was like they're Mormon, they're not going to agree with what I'm saying. So that doesn't feel safe. Whereas I was like, well, I can talk to TikTok. That kind of feels like I'm just speaking into a void. And then I built a community. And then I was like, oh, this is actually safe for me to do. And then as I worked through the blocks around my friends, around my family about being more public, like for a long time, the big reason I didn't go on to TikTok or onto Instagram was because my mom is still Mormon. And I didn't want her to hear the things that I was saying about Mormonism. And so it wasn't until I cleared that shit up with her and we like set, and I set boundaries and we had difficult conversations, that then I was able to show up in that magnetism on Instagram. And now like in the last like 10 days, I've gained like 12,000 followers on Instagram.
Hey.
So it really is. And it's so funny because it's like nothing really changed other than my willingness to be authentic and to actually do the same thing. I do. I'm also a believer that there are, like, energetically, I was not available to be perceived there. And then once I was, that's when the followers started to come, right?
It's so true. Like, I had to wait till I broke up with that boyfriend, like, got new friends, like, moved, like, literally moved locations to a new environment. Like you said before, the healing thing. I feel like every time I go through another layer of healing, whatever modality it happens to be, or, you know, you have those like earth shaking moments of like a singular, just a sentence you read in a book and you're like, holy crap, that was the thing. Like
that was the
then
thing.
You're like, okay, now I've opened the void to welcome in another, like, I think it was in October or November. I had like maybe 1200, now like 2000 followers on Instagram, was pretty flat leveled for a while. And then video popped off after a huge level of like getting over the fear of being seen and like just saying like, fuck it, here we go. Let's just do this on Instagram, right? TikTok's different on Instagram. And now I think I'm up to like 6,500. So like similar in the sense of like, okay, we're like, there are pockets of when I'll pop when I hit those new levels of authenticity and expression. But it is totally a game and it's definitely an energetic thing at this point. And if it's woo, I don't care. I'm like, here, I will do it all. Like, it's fine.
Totally. No, same. And I love, you know, because I obviously was raised with a spiritual background. It's like that. I do rely on that a lot. And I know that people kind of need sometimes the steps of like, okay, but how does this connect? So, but I think like it's exactly that. And that's why, like, I really like believe that creating fame is a spiritual journey. And it is also kind of like a video game. Where it's like anytime you're feeling stuck, there is something subconsciously that needs healing. And once you heal that.
Resistance for sure.
Right. Like as soon as you heal that resistance, that's when things open up. So yeah, I think like a lot or another comment that I get a lot is people like, I know how to have that magnetism, but I don't know how to do it online. Right. As soon as I turn on the camera, that's when it shuts down. And a lot of the times those are people that their fears have come from like strangers, right? Like maybe something traumatic happened or what they learned about the world or whatever. Whereas to me, the world, like the vastness seemed safe, maybe for you as well. So it's kind of just like figuring out the nuance of like, where is it that you feel unsafe being perceived? And then like overcoming that fear. And that's when like energetically it opens up.
Yeah. And I also think energetically in the world too, you'll find your space to take up space with said avenue or thing you're talking about, whatever it is. Like if I did what I did, which was talking about quitting corporate, even 6 months later than when I started, I never would have hit the timing of the Great Resignation, which popped everything off. And same with a friend of mine who does she does salary transparency. And like there are all these things that energetically align to make it so that you can pop off or say or talk about certain things at certain times. And I think that's also something that you and I mentioned about how there's a difference between fame, being like harnessing the resource of fame and being a celebrity. And the difference of like what used to be, which was the showstopper energy versus authenticity. So like there are things that are moving behind the scenes that we as individuals who maybe aren't, well, you probably are more in the Hollywood system than I am, but we all are seeing a lot of things changing. So it's making space for more of these authentic creatures versus just the showstoppers. But like, what is the difference between the celebrity and the like fame as a reason? Like, is there a clear indicator of the difference or it's just authenticity?
Yeah. So what I would, I guess something I also just think is helpful for context is that if we look at like who used to be a celebrity and we look at that big Hollywood machine, it was the people in power were then selecting who was going to be the face, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about like the people who are like in corporate, they're the ones that have the casting directors that are taking in the meetings, that are being introduced to the Nepo babies or whatever. They kind of sell those people who a lot of the time were people with a lot of privilege, like, right? Like it's a lot of the time this like old white men that are making these decisions that also, if we look at their business model, is that they need to sell dollars, right? They need to sell ad space. That's actually how television is funded, is by the ads. And so they literally needed to pick the person who would be like the least almost threatening to their bottom line, right? And so a lot of the times they were picking people that they just were like, oh, this person, you know. And a lot of the time, I think that's also why we see the people in Hollywood have like major sex appeal, is because sex sells, right?
There's
something that you need to do, though, in order to be famous, is you do have to make people fall in love with you. But this can either be make them fall in love with you, like because they want to like have sex with you, or because they want to be you, or because they want to be your best friend. So in Hollywood, what we saw first off is that we see these men picking, let's pick the sexy thing because we know that will sell. And let's also pick kind of the most basic. Now, because of social media, we've really like flipped who gets power and who gets a platform on its head, because you get to self-select and say, and like raise your hand and be like, I want to be one of those people. And so that's where I think we see, you know, I think like, for example, and obviously she's kind of gone through the Hollywood machine, but let's use like Tate McRae, for example. She's still like, I would say between those three, like either wanting to be her, date her, or be her best friend, she definitely relies the most on sex appeal. But for the most part, like now we're seeing all these creators who, like, I would say you're someone that people probably really want to be your best friend and want to be you. And like, obviously we all have all three of these. I'm not saying that people don't want to have sex with you, but like,
not at all. No, but I mean, I do get the best friend thing a lot.
It's
pretty cool, actually, like to see that. I think as a creator, it's cool to be someone who like shares things and it just be one side of like, okay, they're on the receiving end. But to actually have people in my world who like will kind of be a soundboard for me at points. Like I had a really dark period of winter of last year, and it was the first time that I was like at a breaking point. And like I've had some breaking points, but this was like the breaking point where people are like, yo, girl, are you good? Like, we are concerned for you. And the outpouring of like support that I had for my community, showing up like friends who were in my life for forever, who were doing better as friends than the people who were actually in my life at the time, who were sending me like money for coffees and Venmos here and giving me calls and like send me words of affirmation, like whatever it was. It was just like, this is wild that I've cultivated a community, though on the, I would say, relatively smaller. I'm not like a millions and millions of followers type of person. This cultivated audience that I have like rose to the ranks to come to my kind of saving grace, if like to help save me in this moment of need. So I'm like, okay, cool. Like maybe I don't talk to them. They're there acting as friends for me, even though I'm the one who's doing all the talking sort of thing. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
Well, and that's like, okay. So also with like creating this, so you think about like that's like what's a parasocial relationship. So like if your audience doesn't know what that means, it's the audience that a fan has with their, or with that a star has with their fans. So that is, it is actually a one side. It's mutually beneficial, but the celebrity doesn't even know who the person is, but the person feels like they are actually good friends with them. And so they show up as if they were actually friends with them. So it can be a very symbiotic and healthy relationship. And of course, like, you know, for me, my best friends, like one of them live in LA and the others live all over the country. So like so it's like my most commonly like connected to quote unquote friends are my followers, right? And it is like a mutually beneficial thing. But I think part of that also, like, and the reason that you were able to create that is because you did show up authentically during a rough period, right? And you like continued to be yourself and to give and to let people see you in a really human and really normal way. And that's like what I like to say is this kind of like the same as like it's replaced a mom and pop shop. So what I mean by that is like when I used to live in Manhattan, there was this framing gallery that I would go to whenever I had a piece of art. And the first time that I went, I just like met the guy and we end up talking about how he's trying to keep his store open during COVID and he actually inherited it from his dad and he's trying to pay for his son to go through college, whatever. So now I know him. Now I care about him. I don't just care about his product. I'm like, yes, I'm going to go there every time I need, you know, something framed, but I also am going to go to him just to say hi, to check in on his family, things like that. And that's the relationship that we have access to creating using the internet, is actually like, instead of having a mom and pop shop, like people, again, they feel like they know you, they're connected to you. So they do want to be part of you. They want to say, be part of what you're doing, and they want to send customers your way and they want to be your customer. So I don't think I fully answered your question, but I would say the difference.
That's okay.
Between
this is a good fame, rabbit hole.
Okay. The difference between fame and celebrity. So I would say fame is just that resource, which again, you can create that just by like, if you show up and start fear mongering online and like only talking about like crazy, like, you know, that's why like we and like no one can stop, can help themselves, but like going down rabbit holes of conspiracy theories or things like that, mm-hmm. or like why the news is so goes so viral. However, a celebrity is someone who is celebrated, but it's also someone who has this magnetism, who is creating the resource of fame from a really generative place. So this would be the people who, and I would also say, like, not all celebrities are famous and not all famous people are celebrities. So I, like, I don't know if you've ever been somewhere in, like, I don't know, in the corporate world or whatever, where someone walks in and you are just, like, drawn and, like, magnetized to them. But that doesn't necessarily mean they have a huge platform. It means that they embody this energy. They embody this identity of being the person who, you know, gets results, who changes the world, who uplifts other people, who makes the world a better place. That's what I would say like a celebrity is. And that's totally accessible for all of us.
I think one of the things that is super interesting is like, is people always say, oh, being famous and being a celebrity are the same thing. But you're saying basically it's not, right? You can be one or the other or have both at the same time, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
and
cool.
Even like we could think about like celebrity is also about, you know, having some meaning behind your name, right? For example, like, if you want to get into, like, you know, I'm working right now to get into this. One of my best friends is making his Broadway debut. And so tickets are not on sale. And so I'm like working. We'll see how this goes. But to get in touch with a publicist to say, hey, my name means something, that this, it would actually benefit you to have me there. Right. And like, you know, the exchange would be my influence, my content, like things like that. So that's the, that is like, that is celebrity and that is also fame. But like if we think about like, you know, I actually have no idea what Cindy Crawford is up to right now, but from what I can tell she's not really in the public eye right now. So it's not that she actually has a lot of fame, a lot of attention on her right now, but her name means something. And my guess is she could get into those parties, right? She could get into those red carpet nights, those like opening nights. So it's really about like being able to, and this is where like, you know, if TikTok does get banned, which I don't actually think it will, just because I feel like it never does.
There's too much in the game, like economically for Americans and the government. Like it's, we'll see what happens. They might have new regulations
they'll have to
and
change
stuff,
it.
But
yeah, exactly. And if that happened, people are going to go follow you because people care about you if you've like done the work right to build those parasocial relationships. So that's the thing. It's like Mr. Beast, also like, you know, the most successful YouTuber. He is breaking all of the rules of TikTok. Like he doesn't actually follow any of the rules of engagement, but because people care about him, they don't really care. And so his videos already always go viral no matter what platform he's on. So it's really about building that resource of that parasocial relationship, having that celebrity energy so that people care about you and know your name and want to be a part of whatever you're a part of.
I'm glad that you brought up the difference between the celebrity and fame too, and like kind of breaking down again. The example of Cindy Crawford is a great example because there's like, we see it all the time, right? The Kardashians are always relevant. They're always doing something. They got their PR team on stuff, stirring up some drama or whatever to stay relevant, to stay famous. But even if they had a quiet period, I'm sure their name would obviously still mean something. But as us as creators, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I've had moments of like a lot of eyes on me, of like the media coverage and this and that, and every video is going viral. And then moments of like deep quietness or like unsure of what I'm doing or what I'm talking about, or like, the magnetism is still there, but I don't quite have the same kind of tunnel vision sort of, okay, this is what we're doing and this is bang, 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 bang. So, and also I would say for a lot of people too, especially with TikTok being such a viral focused sort of platform and it doing crazy things, like how can someone like stay, I don't want to say stay relevant because right, again, energetically some things change, but like how do you, there are people who become like the one hit wonder, right? Their one video goes viral and they think this is it, this is finally, my business is going to do well. I'm going to figure it all out. And then they never have another viral video or they don't understand what their angle is or like, and they go back to the drawing board. Like anything you could touch on regarding that in terms of like tips or insight, or I'm sure you've got a knowledge of what to talk about for that. But
yeah, it's super common. So first off, just I want us to like remember fame is a video game. So there's going to be new levels of it. I have worked with people like I think, you know, I've worked with red carpet celebrities, but I think just in terms of like ease of, you know, this assessment, I think Instagram is, or TikTok, like having a following is the easiest. So the exact same thing. Okay. I mean, let me try again. This question makes me so excited. So
I'll cut.
So I want you to like imagine our brains have kind of this like internal thermostat for how much fame we feel comfortable receiving and how much attention we feel comfortable receiving. So there's basically like a thermostat. If it gets too hot, then the air is going to kick on. If it gets too cold, then the heat's going to kick on. The reason is that it preserves energy and it keeps us at this like equilibrium temperature, because if you're constantly going from 54 degrees all the way to 85 degrees, then your air conditioner, your heat is going to constantly just be running and running and running. So our brains do the exact same thing. So there will be, and this is something that like where a lot of creators plateau, we all have this subconscious number of what we feel safe being perceived at. So like, and what's interesting is, you know, I've worked with clients who are just starting out all of the way to like already having millions of followers, and the exact same thing is happening. So the only difference is the people who are just starting out, the number that they feel safe being perceived by is like 200 people. Whereas the people with millions of followers, they're at like millions and they're like, now I'm tapped out. So what ends up happening, and this is something that's like super common, is people who it's like they can't ever pass the 10K mark, or they keep getting to 50K and then they like start over, or they get freaked out and then they shut down their account, or they start self-sabotaging, right? That's when you change your niche. That's when you quit doing what's working. This is just your brain trying to keep you safe, because even though your soul might want to grow, your brain doesn't perceive that it is safe for you to have more eyes on you. So no matter where you're at, there is some sort of like upper limit that is keeping you stuck. And so the work is always just going to be, again, going back into that video game and figuring out like, what is the energetic block here? One of the best compliments I've ever received, someone was just like, you're so good at manifesting. And I was like, I know, because I know the process of like, oh, you want something, go find the subconscious block for it and remove the block, and then you're going to receive it. So it really does come down to like creating that safety in your body by releasing those subconscious blocks so that you can receive more love, more fame, more success.
Now, is this some of the things you teach in your mentorship program? And also, like, what is your favorite modality for hacking the subconscious? Because I'm always curious. Some people are like sworn to ayahuasca. Some people are like, nah, I'm good with like a solid book. Like, do you have like a favorite go-to thing? Or
yeah, so that is literally like my bread and butter as a coach, is that I have my own process for it. So basically what I do is it's like a 6-step process. So, and this is, you know, I have like a course that people can learn this and do it themselves, or I do have a 6-month mentorship. Their results are guaranteed. They go through the process with me and we make sure that you know how to implement it, not only for your current goal, but then we literally, again, we're rewiring your brain so you get used to creating results in this way, so that then every time you're blocked, you're like, let me come back to this. So there are, though, like very specific steps that we do. So the first thing, though, is like really learning how, like, this is what I call like going all in, right? So just, I don't know if you've noticed, but like for a lot of celebrities, it's like, it just seems like there are people that things just like work out for. And that does come down to an identity shift. So the first thing is we shift that identity. And then the second thing, like a celebrity is someone who is celebrated. So in the second step, you become the person who is celebrated both internally and externally. And then that's when we get into that subconscious rewiring. So I have my own modality for this, which is where I teach my clients how to pick apart their brain and see which thoughts are the subconscious thoughts. But this is essentially the first thing, like basically what you need to do is get really, really clear on what those patterns are and how they're, and like get that awareness so that you can, you know, it's like cleaning up the trash a little bit and being like, ooh, what are these things? And then we move into that like somatic safety. So in the like steps like 4 and 5, that's when you actually create that safety in your body. So it's not like, I always say, it's like you can't just gaslight yourself into fame. You have to actually feel it and you have to actually embody it, because our energy is like a body odor. And like sometimes if we're stinky after a workout, it's like we don't smell it on ourselves, but other people do.
For sure.
Right. And so it's about creating that safety. So in this, I do use EFT. I use some somatic work. I use like hypnosis. I also teach clients my own like little tool that's like honestly the one most of them use. It's called an alien exercise. But basically, it's about creating that like actual safety in your body. And then we move into that like receiving mode. So once you like move through this process, then you're naturally just going to, it's like, I think one of the misconceptions, people like, I need to go out and do things. And it's like, no, you just need to allow them to come to you, right? Like if you think about even in dating, if you were like thinking about it as hunting, I mean, I do think maybe there are people that is their vibe. But with fame, again, you want people to fall in love with you. And so you want to attract them to you. And so a lot of that is just allowing. So yeah, I do all of the things. I love hypnosis. I am just like such a believer in my own processes because they have worked and they're also cyclical. And I've seen them work for clients who are just starting and also who are like, you know, award-winning like red carpet celebrities. So that's kind of like, I guess what it is in a nutshell.
I was curious because everyone has their own form of doing things, but it is interesting how so many people, we all kind of come back to very similar sort of experiences, right? Moving things through your body, processing emotions, like in whatever shape or form you need to do that, whether it's something as simple as cold plunge or like literally going into the desert or not the desert, the jungle and drinking some like medicine herb or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it is what it is that you're extreme. Take it as with a grain of salt. But I also love the fact that you mentioned that you don't have to chase things necessarily, or like, not that you don't have to do a lot of work, right? The it's so uncomfortable picking apart your internal shit. Like, it really is so uncomfortable. And like, if you want to do that, like being a creator is like the best way to do that. Like, you will have to face your stuff more than you ever would by being in this industry or being a business owner than you like for any other thing, in my opinion.
But, 100%.
Like, it is interesting, though, because when my like first peak happened, I didn't have the capacity to hold it. And so I self-sabotaged and threw the whole thing away and kind of started from scratch. And since then, it's been a lot of like question marks. And like, the great thing, though, is now I get to choose versus just blindly picking what's working or what other people are telling me to do versus choosing the shots and making it go as I want it to be. But the magnetic aspect is super cool, too, because you're like I've never once pitched a brand. All of my brand deals have I ever done them, they flew into my inbox or clients came into my inbox. Or like it's very sure you have to sell something or like you have to post online if you want to be seen. That's your aspect of work, quote unquote. But like, it should be easy if you're in alignment. Again,
exactly.
Easy within quotations. Everything's relative, but.
Right. Well, and it's also like, I mean, I think the hardest thing is that like risk tolerance is getting into that alignment, is looking at yourself. Like, so many people are unwilling to do that. And if you do that work, like, I think that's actually the hardest work. And so then that's to me, looking at my own shit and working through it, that's harder than like a 16-hour workday on my feet, right? And I say that having done both. So it's like pick your poison, but one of them will create the result of things coming to you instead of having to like constantly grind it out and like make shit happen.
Yeah. One question I did have that I just was talking to someone yesterday. We hadn't really talked about this, but I think it might be something you can touch on. Is do you think that the model of influencers is dead? Like that traditional, hey, we're just going to like sell stuff and like, or do you think that it's not that it's dead, but it's evolving so rapidly because so many people are taking it on? Like, what's your thoughts on the whole, on like that? If that even falls into the category of celebrity and I'm not quite sure.
So there is, I forget the exact number, but I did just see the statistic where it's something crazy, like 72% of commerce sales are still all happening through influencers. So because of that, I don't think from the corporate side, it's going to go anywhere. But what I do see from an influencer perspective is the influencers who have built an audience just around products, that's going to be dead. And you're going to have to, and there are the people who, you know, our favorite influencers who have been around the block since 2012 or whatever, obviously they can, what ends up happening. So this is the trajectory. And this is the same too, I think, in the past. But what I typically see is you have to kind of create like a cult-like following. And that's where you need to be really specific and really authentic. And then once you get famous enough, then you'll kind of have like a tidal wave of fans. And it's kind of that whole idea. I don't know if you've ever been having a conversation with someone when they bring up a celebrity. And you don't know who they are, but by the way that that person talks about it, you know that it's a person of influence. And so that just their name, again, kind of means something. So, but what a lot of people do when they're starting is they jump to that point where they don't, like, they think because they're seeing the big names not being specific, then they're like, oh, I just need to sell products. But essentially, you're kind of like skipping all the steps of building a really loyal fan base. So what I think is, I don't think it's actually going to change that much other than I think the demand for authenticity is going to be a lot more stringent. And in terms of TikTok, like I just turned 32, so I feel like I'm older in terms of that world. And even I like wanted to try being an influencer in 2012, but I was lacking that authenticity. And so it never worked for me where I was just trying to copy what like the big names were doing instead of being authentic to who I was. So I don't know that it's actually changing, or if that's maybe like just something that's kind of always been the case. And now it's highlighted even more because I think, you know, with audiences, especially, like, you want to build an audience of young people because they are
and
in
they
the
grow
zeitgeist
with you.
And they grow with you. Yeah. And Gen Z and younger, they can sniff out bullshit. Like, they know.
Oh, for sure.
If you're just like if you're phoning it in. And so I think that's where like the demand to be really authentic will like continue, will be even more of a tool than it has been in the past.
Yeah, I like that, though, because I do think I've been influenced to buy things or participate in things that have changed my life, much like me picking up my phone and downloading TikTok. But like, it's also, we don't necessarily want to be sold everything. And there's sometimes a bad thing if all you're known as the person who's selling something versus like, oh, I love this individual for who they are. And also it's the difference between like going viral and like doing something for the long term, right? Actually playing the long game of like, no, I don't want this to be a 2-year thing where I just make a ton of money and get out. I want to do this for like my entire life because I have this light and this expression that needs to come out in some way, shape or form. And right now this is the pathway to do it.
Yes. And it's interesting too, because I do think that there were a couple people who maybe picked up in the early days of TikTok and did build and got to the place that they were a successful influencer. And now they're the people that are like, I'm so sick of this. Like, I'm leaving. And it's like, yeah, because you never actually started it from a place of authenticity. You started it from a place of peddling products and wanting to quit a job that you didn't like. And so but if that was your end goal, then it's never going to be sustainable. And there's easier ways to do it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I just figured I'd bring it up because it's everything. All these things are hot topics right now with the TikTok ban and things changing in the economy and like whatever. But I wonder, did we miss anything? Is there anything like last little bits of information or something you wanted to share that we hadn't gotten to specifically around fame, celebrity energy, your program, things that you're doing, anything like that?
Not really. I mean, you're such a good interviewer. You're so thorough.
Oh,
so no, I feel pretty complete. I love talking about this stuff and I loved your questions. I love chatting with you about it. I think you have a great insight as well. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, I mean, I'm like kind of, I would say in your demographic of someone who I finally came to the realization of like, okay, girl, like you can still be a humble, good, genuine person and want to cultivate the resources of fame
yes.
for the betterment of humanity. Like you can have this. It's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to feel gross about it. So now I'm like, okay, we're going to call more people into your world then to support or further prove that this is the right pathway or give you the tools or like the setup or like whatever it is to make it happen. So it was just
100%.
The timing, like I said, was perfect of us connecting. But one thing I did want to do, and I do with every single episode, is just one final question, which is if you could give advice to your younger self, what would that be? And that could be, you know, like young Whitney, you know, still in the Mormon church. It could be Whitney a year ago. Like, what would you give to your younger self?
That's such a good question. I honestly think I would just tell her, like, you're not wrong. Like, I think that that's, you know, something that we see from, you know, anyone who comes from any type of marginalized background. But for me also just like as a queer person wanting to be an artist, like there were so many ways that I just didn't feel like I fit in or, you know, I wasn't creating the success that I wanted as an actor or, you know, I was just kept hitting walls. And I just in my brain, though, I was like, but I feel like there's something more for me. Like it feels like there's supposed to be something else. And I just would be like I'm grateful because what I did actually do was keep going and keep betting on this. But I would love to like be able to tell that girl like, hey, like you're right. You are not wrong about this. And like all your dreams are coming true. So like keep
like,
it up.
You'll become kind of the person that you've always wanted to be type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it might take a little bit more time. That's all.
Yeah.
For the right
exactly.
reasons, of course.
Yeah. And take more time, but also be exactly what you wanted instead of like, because again, when I was, you know, 12 and I wanted to be an actress, it's like I wanted to be a puppet for someone else. And I didn't realize that I actually wanted to have a voice. And so, yeah, I think that's what I tell her.
Yeah. Thank God for the internet, right?
Thank God.
To allow you to do that. But this has been so great. I've had so much value in talking to you. I know my audience is going to be gushing about you as well. For anyone listening, you can look at the show notes where all of Whitney's information is. We'll have this up on YouTube. You can watch it and see us talking live, which is really fun. Yeah. Anything else you want to mention before we kind of wrap this up or all good? Anything more?
I don't think so. Thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.